Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. Hope you're all having a lovely day. So this episode is about therapy and bingo wings. So that is a weird combination. But I wanted to start off this episode by confessing that I have started going to therapy, and I'll tell you which approach I've used. I've been using BetterHelp. Now, this is not an ad, okay? And the reason I started using it is because I heard it on someone else's podcast, which was an ad. So hashtag influenced. But basically, I was thinking about it for a while. I don't feel like there's anything like innate wrong with me. But I think, like, the way I go to the gym for my physical health, I think going to therapy for my mental health is also just as important. And I wanted to tell anyone who's listening this, because, you know, in case you are thinking of doing it. So I've been using BetterHelp online, so it's all online, so I can literally sit in my room with my laptop and speak to a therapist on Zoom. And, you know, there's, when you sign up to it, you click, tick loads of boxes, you know, what kind of situation you might be in, or what, I suppose you kind of put yourself into a box. Like, I want to focus on this when I'm speaking to a therapist. Like, for example, you know, you have an eating disorder, or you suffer with anxiety, or you are depressed, or you are having relationship issues. Like, they will narrow down a therapist that will suit your needs. So obviously, the therapists that use it are probably self-employed, you know, and they work from home as well, and they could be anywhere in the world. And my therapist is actually English, and she's a lovely girl, she is. And I think this Tuesday, it's Saturday now, this Tuesday will be my tour session. So when you download the BetterHelp app, you get a journal as well, and there's like a chat feature. So when you use the journal every morning, which I've actually been really enjoying, because I would encourage anyone to do journaling, it's a bit of self-reflection, and they have like journal prompts if you can't think of anything to journal. So usually a lot of people would associate journaling with, like, you know, what you're grateful for today and whatever else, or like a kind of Dear Diary moment, like when you were a kid. But they have journal prompts, so if you are struggling to think of something, it would be like, today I hope to achieve dot dot dot, or if I was to write to my younger self, what would the letter say, dot dot dot. Really good things to kind of help you self-reflect. But and then there's a chat feature, so you can share that with your therapist, and then she'll you know, send you a message back being like, really good insight and all, thanks for sharing. And then you can schedule an appointment on your terms. Like, they give you a list of appointments available that week. And again, most of them are actually in the evening. So I don't know whether that my therapist has a day practice and she does this in the evening. But it's great that you don't have to kind of leave your house, because sometimes that can be a deterrent. And I want to build up the habit of doing this weekly. And I always say, when you are building a habit, try and make it as easy as possible at the start, so that way you're more likely to stick to it, and there's a bit of consistency, and then it becomes a habit, true consistency. Whereas if there was a barrier where I had to get in my car and sit in traffic for 90 minutes to see my therapist, I don't think I would last if I had to like go and physically sit in an office. So this actually suits me to a T, because I am so busy. And that's one of the reasons I actually started speaking to a therapist, because I've so much on in this day and age, like so much on. I'm go, 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 that I'm always switched on. And I don't know whether it's the ADHD, maybe it is as well. I actually ticked that box when I was looking for a therapist too, someone who might have a bit of experience in that. My mind is always on the go, you know, I take on way too much and I can burn out. And sometimes I forget to just be Enya and, you know, have time for myself and then a bit of self-reflection. Like, I find early in the morning, I fill out my journal and I have a bit of me time, whether that's reading a book for 20 minutes, because once it goes past 9 o'clock, the emails start coming in. And, you know, I get my gym routine done. I reply to emails. I'm making content. I'm going out meeting people, etc. Like, loads to do at the laptop too. Loads of admin work. There's always something I have to do. Like, I remember not being busy at all at one stage going back a few years ago. And I am very, very grateful. But I need to focus on, you know, giving back to myself and focusing on my own well-being, because you can't pour from an empty cup. Like, I need time to be Enya, because, you know, I'll just burn out, and then I'm no good to anyone. If you can't take care of yourself, how are you supposed to take care of other people. So yeah, I just want to look after myself and take accountability for my actions and, you know, speak to someone who doesn't know me and isn't going to be like, oh, everything will be grand, Ash, you're going to be fine, and you know all that. Like, you actually want to speak to someone who's not biased or anything, and, you know, do a bit of self-work on yourself and be a better daughter, a better sister, a better partner, better comedian, better coach, and focus on like that inner critic, because everyone has one. And I can listen to it too much sometimes. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, and you're like, you know, you've achieved this, you're doing so much, you're taking on this, like, fair play to you. And I'll still think, yeah, but it's not enough. So I need to change my language, how I speak to myself, because I might be able to hype up clients and tell them, you know, to speak to themselves differently. But sometimes I have to practice what I preach. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. And I'd encourage, now, basically the price is, I think you can like have as many appointments as you want. Now, don't quote me, like you could schedule appointments twice a week, three times a week if you wanted to. You can do video chat or by phone. Obviously I think video is much better, to be honest. It's a bit more personal. I think it's like, I was listening to the Talk and Bollocks podcast and they had a discount code, so I used their discount. It was like 10% off. I can't remember, to be honest. They have actually a direct link, I think so, or else I used a discount code when I was buying it. Yeah, I think I might have done that. I can't remember what it was now, to be honest, but I got 10% off. So basically, I said last week, or was the week before, that I parted ways with my coach. Now, we're still really good friends, but it was €200 a month to be coached by Adam, and now that €200, that's floating in thin air now, I'm going to invest into therapy. So, you know, I invested it into my physical health for 2 years, and now I'm not saying I'm going to invest it in my mental health for 2 years, but now I'm going to invest it in something that's going to give me a good return. I love investing my money into things that are going to benefit me. And, you know, like, look, we're all guilty of going out on the weekends and blowing money on drink and takeaways and whatever, and we don't get any return on it other than a bad hangover and then weight gain over time. Look, takeaways are great in moderation, to be honest. I don't get many of them. I actually, do you know what? I ordered a Domino's Sunday night. My other half's cousin got engaged and we went out to celebrate, and I actually said, you know what, I'm not in the humour cooking this evening. The night after, I said, I'm going to order a pizza. And the last time I ordered a pizza was the day before New Year's Eve, because Domino's Pizza tells you when you last ordered when you go onto the app. I was like, whoa, I didn't think it was that long, because I remember thinking, I'm going to be starting my photo shoot prep on the 4th of January or the 3rd of January, so this is going to be my last pizza. But yeah, that was the last time I actually ordered a pizza. Now, I had one on the hens, but in terms of actually ordering a takeaway, can't remember the last time I ordered a curry. I'm just not a big takeaway person, not because I think I'm not allowed it. I just don't like the way it makes me feel. I'd rather just make my own meal. But what was the point? Yes, so we blow money on drink, food, etc., clothes or whatever. But I think something like therapy or, you know, a gym membership or a coach, you're actually going to get something out of it. And, you know, the same way someone might rent a house, it's never going to be theirs at the end of the day. But if they save for a house, it's going to be theirs one day. And that's an investment. That's a good investment. So drawing a line under that. So if anyone else is thinking of going to therapy and doesn't want the hassle of going to an office, sitting in traffic, or may not have the time to do that, I think BetterHelp is a really good approach. And this is free advertising for them. Again, this is not a paid ad, but it was everywhere. I'm seeing a lot of people pushing it, a lot of people promoting it. So, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing to be pushing down people's necks, to be honest. I think more people need to do it, whether you're going through stuff or not. I think it's always good to exercise your mental health. And that could be speaking to someone, that could be breath work, that could be yoga, that could be journaling, anything. But moving on to the bingo wings. So I get a lot of messages, DMs, and I also have people in my own life who come up to me and they know I'm a PT now, and they might look at my arms and think, oh, how do I get rid of my arm fat, etc. So first things first, you can't target where you want to lose body fat, same way you can't pick where you want to store body fat. Because if we could pick where we wanted to lose it, we could pick where we wanted to store it. And then everyone would be going around with massive clown feet and slender bodies. But there has actually been research, and this is a whole other podcast, a whole other separate podcast, that you can, there's been studies now that you can actually spot reduce body fat. Okay, now look, it's a whole other episode. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just going to say for this episode that you, for the majority of the time, you can't. So what I would say is, if you have you know, an awful lot of body fat to lose, or you store body fat in your arms. I would store a lot of body fat in my arms once upon a time. And even now I was to put on weight, that's where I would notice body fat in my bum as well and my legs. I wouldn't really store that much in my midsection, believe it or not, but in my hips, legs, bum and arms. And I used to hate taking pictures. I used to hate wearing like tank tops in the summer, or, you know, on a night out, a sleeve. I used to wear like long sleeve dresses or t-shirts and stuff, because if I used to press my arm up against my body in a photograph, like if it was a side profile, I'd be like, whoa. Yeah, it's just, it looked like a pan. It looked, my arm looked like a pancake. That's how wide. And like, do you know what? I'm actually running myself down here. But look, I done something about it in the end. But if you are someone who stores a lot of body fat there, and you notice that when you put your arm up, you can see a lot of kind of fat swinging, etc. That's what they call it, the bingo wings, because it's like a wing. What can happen is, as you get older, your skin loses elasticity, all right? So when you're younger, your skin has a lot of that. So if you pinch your skin now, and let's just say you pinch the skin on top of your hand, look at how quickly it literally flies back down to the surface, okay? So as you get older, that gets slower, so your skin has less elasticity. So what does that mean? It means your skin's going to sag a bit more, it's going to droop a bit more. So if you're older and you notice that in your bingo wings, it can just be a sign of aging, but also it's probably just somewhere that you store body fat, all right? So there's a big belief that, oh, if you just do these arm exercises, it'll get rid of the body fat, but they're still eating like crap. So they're still eating shy. They're still having their takeaways. They're still eating like snacking rings around themselves, but you know, they're going to these classes and picking up baby weights and doing like 3 bicep curls and having the chats. And then they're frustrated after 8 weeks being like, why are we bingoing still there? What's happening? How do I get rid of them? Do I just do all these arm exercises and, you know, hop on one leg while I'm cooking me chicken and that's going to burn more calories? No, okay. This is how you build better arms, because I used to be very insecure about my arms, as I just said a few minutes ago. And, you know, I followed my coach's advice and I knew this is what had to be done anyway. What I would say is, women go to the gym a lot and they just focus on their lower body, their bum and their legs, and they neglect their upper body. And it's very similar to when men go into the gym, they neglect their lower body, but they prioritize their upper body, okay? Now look, female anatomy, you know, our legs are probably our best feature. And of course, we should capitalize on that and train them a bit more. Like, you know, I have 3 leg days a week. But when I started with my coach, we did 3 leg days, a push day, and then there was like a pull day with a bit of legs as well, okay? Posterior day, so you'd have hamstrings, bum, back, biceps, etc. Any muscle that's behind you, all right? So what I would say is, let me get to the point. If you are constantly dieting, all right, you're not going to build muscle in your arms. And muscle, the word toning means building muscle, and then dropping body fat to reveal the muscle, to make that tone look more apparent, okay? Like that sculpted look in your arms and your legs. So if you are constantly dieting, you aren't going to be able to build muscle, all right? You're going to build a very, very small amount, as opposed to if you are maintaining or in a surplus, you're going to build more muscle, because you can't pour from an empty cup. Your body cannot build muscle if you are expending more energy than you're taking in. If you're constantly in a calorie deficit, burning calories on the cardio machines and under eating, how are you supposed to build muscle? What's your muscle going to take from? There's literally no fucking food in your system, or what's left of it. So what I would say is, try spend periods, whether it be 4 to 5 months, of just maintaining your weight. Go online, use a TD calculator, tell it your height, weight, age, how active you intend to be, and it will give you your maintenance calories, your surplus calories, and your deficit calories. You're either going to go into maintenance or a surplus. So a deficit is 500 calories taken away from your maintenance, okay? And then a surplus is 500 calories on top of your maintenance. Now, I don't think you should go into a 500 calorie surplus. I think 100 to 200 calories above maintenance is plenty. That's what I'm doing at the moment. So I'm in a maintenance phase at the moment. Well, a small surplus. So my deficit is 1800 calories, okay? Is it actually? No, my maintenance calories are 1800 and I am eating about 2000 a day on a training day, and then on a rest day I'm eating 1800. So I'm back down to maintenance on a rest day, in a surplus on training days. But at the end of the week, I am obviously in a surplus. If you add up all the calories, I'm in a small surplus. But This is great because my muscle now has a lot of food in the system, has a lot of food in it. What am I structuring that? Sorry, my body has a lot of food at the moment. I'm taking in a lot of energy, so my muscle has a lot to pull from. It's like, yes, lovely, happy days. Like, we're going to get stronger now in the gym. We've so much more energy, we've more power, etc. And then I'm going to slowly build muscle over 5 to 6 months, okay? And, you know, a lot more muscle than what I would if I was in a deficit or at maintenance. Just that extra bit of food goes a long way, okay? So I'm going to be in the gym, I'm going to be getting stronger. I'm obviously focusing more on building my glutes at the moment too. So I'm doing a lot of glute exercises. And obviously, the more you train a muscle consistently, the quicker it's going to grow. If you're training with intensity, you know, you're not just going in and it's not dilly-dallying and, you know, you're leaving the gym feeling like you hadn't even done a workout. Like, you have to train with intensity, you have to push yourself. So yeah, spend periods outside dieting, because then when you go into a deficit, you're still going to be going to the gym. Because I get a lot of these questions as well. Oh, well, if you can't build muscle in a calorie deficit, what's the point going to the gym? You can maintain your muscle while in a calorie deficit by continuing to go to the gym, by continuing to lift. Will you, you know, add an extra 50 to 60 kg to your leg press while you're in a deficit over 3 to 4 months? No, probably not. Okay. But you will, you know, build a small amount of muscle in a deficit, but nothing again compared to being at maintenance or in a surplus. But you will definitely maintain, and that's why you still go to the gym. So when you drop body fat, you'll probably hold on to a little bit of fluff during a building phase, which is inevitable, okay? Like, I'm talking 2 to 3 kilo, probably not even, okay? And then when you drop body fat after 3 to 4 months of being in a deficit, if you put a picture of you last year versus this year, you know, after that deficit, after spending time in a building phase, you will notice the muscle growth, okay? If you've been consistently training, progressively overloading, you know, upping the weight in the reps every week or two, you will notice the difference in your arms and your legs, all right? Now, like, let me just go through a checklist because I have it here. So weary. Obviously, eating significant amount of protein with each meal, because you won't be able to build muscle if you're not taking in enough protein, okay? So 1 gram per pound of body weight, I'm about 125 to 130 pounds, let's just say. So my protein is around 120 grams, all right? And then obviously you want to be focusing on a good program. So this is what I'm going to get to now. So volume, if you want to grow a certain area, like your arms, which is what I'm speaking about, you need to train them that bit more consistently. Going into the gym once and doing one arm exercise every week, it's gonna cause progress to be very, very slow. Okay, so for example, on my program for the last 2 years, I had one push day a week, all right? But within that push day, I was doing a lot of exercises on the same muscles. So they say on average, you should train a muscle group 12 sets per week, all right, to get really good results. Now, does that mean doing 12 rounds of squats in the one day? No. That could be 3 rounds of a squat on a Monday, 3 rounds of a leg press on a Wednesday, 3 rounds of a Bulgarian split squat on a Friday. Okay, do you see the way we're doing different exercises, but we're targeting the same muscle, which is your quads and your glutes, all right? And it's the same with your arms, except I was training I was doing a lot of sets on my arms in that one particular push day. So push day is anything to do with your shoulders, your chest, your triceps, okay? So these were the exercises I did, and I got amazing results. Like, you know, I obviously did biceps on pull days. So when you are pulling something towards your body, you're using your biceps and your back, all right? So when you're doing, like, you know, back exercises, your biceps come into that as well. Your biceps are helping pull that weight towards you. But you can also isolate your biceps by doing bicep curls, alternating bicep curls, etc. So these were the exercises I did to grow my arms, all right? So on my push day in particular, I would start off at lateral raises, YouTube days, so you know what I'm talking about. 3 rounds, 12 to 15 reps, okay? I did that twice a week. No, I did that once a week, sorry. And then I did shoulder press, a seated dumbbell shoulder press. Again, YouTube this. I did 3 rounds, 8 to 10 reps once a week, okay? And then I did an incline chest press, dumbbell incline chest press, YouTube this as well, so you know what I'm talking about. This was obviously a chest exercise. Now, they aren't really to do with your arms, obviously your chest, but it still is an upper body exercise and it makes you look that bit more proportioned looking. An incline means your bench it's not flat. So it's like a 45 degree angle, and it focuses more on the upper chest. So women, obviously they have breast tissue and that's going to cover their lower chest. So why not capitalize on the part of the chest that is actually more visible and more prominent on a woman, which is the upper chest? Men would train lower chest that bit more, but they obviously train a bit of upper too. But that's why the flat bench press you see men do a lot, because that focuses on their lower chest. And then, so that's lateral raises. Okay, so what does the lateral raise exercise actually work? So you know when you are standing front on and you're looking in the mirror, you know that bump that comes out of the side of your shoulder? Or if you do turn to the side and you're looking at your arm from the side, it's the upper part of your arm, okay? Like that, it looks like there's a ball sticking over. I love them. I think that lateral raise exercise is for your medial delt. And let me tell you, it's made a massive difference to my upper arm, okay? So in your shoulder, you have your posterior deltoid, which is the muscle behind your shoulder, your medial deltoid, which is the muscle in the middle of your shoulder. And then you have, what's the other one? Anterior. Anterior is your front one. Okay, and then you have your actual shoulder, which is your shoulder cap, so the muscle on top of your shoulder. Okay, so lateral raises, the middle of your shoulder press, your shoulder cap. Okay, and then the incline chest press for your chest, and then the single arm cable lateral raise. So similar to lateral raises with the dumbbells, but you're using a cable machine now. All right, so let me just go through that again, because I might have confused you a bit. I would start off with lateral raises with dumbbells, okay? Now, it's a small muscle in the top of your shoulder, so you use light dumbbells. Like I'm talking, if you were only starting off like 3 kgs, like I'm on about 7.5 now. 3 rounds, 12 to 15 reps, okay? And then that's going to warm your shoulder up as well, and you're going to go into a dumbbell seated shoulder press. 2 rounds, 8 to 10 reps, okay, for your shoulder cap, the muscle on top of your shoulder. And then your incline chest press for your upper chest, all right, with dumbbells. And then the single arm cable lateral raise, all right. So you're going to do 3 rounds of that each arm, 12 to 15 reps once a week, okay. And then your triceps. So you do about three tricep exercises. So your triceps are the muscles behind, just above your elbow, okay, behind your arm. And you are literally, and then your biceps, which are done on pull days, so bicep curls with dumbbells as well. So your tricep exercises could be a tricep row push down, straight bar, tricep push down, overhead dumbbell, tricep extension, etc. Like I would do maybe 2 to 3 of those a week as well. So I gave a lot of attention to my arms over the last 2 years. So I was really, really consistent. And, you know, every week, they are small muscles, lads. So you're not going to be using like fucking 20 kg weights or anything, all right? Like, I don't think I've ever gotten above 15 kg, and I'm talking about using my chest now, like for chest press exercises, etc. But when it comes to like your arms, you know, you're going to be using a lot of the cable machines for them as well. And then dumbbells, like I think on the cable machine, when you're using both arms for tricep exercises and bicep exercises, you would probably get above 20 kg because you're using both arms. But when you're using like one arm each and stuff, your arms obviously going to be a lot weaker, you know, because you're not using the power of two. But again, lateral raises, shoulder press, single arm cable lateral raise, incline chest press, and those three tricep exercises, I would focus on them consistently, all right? And then what happens then is when you are consistently training the muscle, you're getting stronger and increasing the reps every week to two. You know, after nearly 2.5 years now, my arms are completely transformed. I have obviously dropped nearly 20 kg in 2.5 years, and my arms are sculpted. Like I used to be so insecure. I used to wear long sleeve tops, jackets and stuff on nights out. And now I'm wearing like tank tops, you know, I love showing them off, the gun show. And they're actually my favorite feature. So now that they are fully developed, I'm obviously focusing a lot more on my legs now, my bum. And I have actually really good hamstrings now as well. And I remember when I started, I stored a lot of body fat in my legs. So you wouldn't really be able to see the muscle because of the amount of body fat. But now that I've dropped a significant amount of body fat, I can see my big meaty hamstrings that I've been working on as well. Did a lot of volume on them. Like I said, volume is how much you train a muscle per week, and you know, targeting that muscle with different exercises. So for example, with the hamstring, barbell Romanian deadlift, dumbbell Romanian deadlift, leg curl machine, etc. And then obviously the quads. Like, I think the quads, hamstrings, glutes are the most prominent feature on a woman. So that is why I train them a lot too and give them a lot of attention. But again, if you're only going into the gym and you're just doing one set of bicep curls, one set of a shoulder press, like, its progress is going to be a lot more slower. So if you think about it, like, if I was doing a shoulder press with dumbbells and I was using 210 kgs, all right, and I did 10 reps, like, that's 20 kg added up to 10, I'm talking about 10 kg in each arm, that's 20 kg. And if I got 10 reps on the fourth round, that's me, 20 by 10 is, that's me doing 200 kg, all right, in one round. Like, that's literally what I'm doing. I'm pressing 200 kg over 10 reps. And then the second round, I'm probably get 8. So my maths is absolutely shocking, lads. I'm probably way off here, but you get me drift, don't you? And, you know, if you're doing the same with leg exercises, like, if I'm doing, like, you know, 12 sets on quads per week and I'm doing 10 to 12 reps, and, like, your legs are so strong. Women are very strong when it comes to their legs. You know, you can, like, leg press, like, I'd be leg pressing like 120 kg to 150 kg. If you're doing 3 rounds of that and you're doing 10 reps each round, like, you're doing over 1,000 kilograms per round if you think about it. So yeah, it's all about volume and how consistently you train, your intensity, etc. And I suppose the last question is, how long is it going to take for you to build muscle and then drop the body fat to reveal it? It's person dependent, like, lads. Like, someone who's 90 kg versus someone who's 70 kg and they both start on the same day, the person who's 70 kg is carrying less body fat, so they're probably going to see progress a bit quicker. Not a bit quicker, but a lot sooner, because they have less body fat than the person who was 90 kg. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible. The person who's 90 kg, it's just going to take them a bit longer. You know, it could be nearly a multi-year process or maybe 1 year. Whereas the person who's 70 kg, I started off when I was 70 kg. Okay. And, you know, I'd say maybe the middle of last year is when I started to notice definition in my arms. So nearly a year it took me to kind of notice properly my arms taking shape. But that's true consistency. Like, you don't just go into a gym, work on your arms, you know, once every 2 to 3 weeks. Like, this needs to be a weekly basis, showing up consistently, having enough protein with each meal to build and repair the muscle, not under eating 12 months of the year, you know, taking time off to obviously control your intake, still eating protein with each meal, but eating more. Yeah, so I spoke last week, or I think it was the week before, about intuitive eating. Like, if you really wanted to focus on building your arms, sculpting your arms, you know, going through a building phase then into a deficit, like, you probably would have to track your calories to make sure you're getting enough protein in, etc. But it is person dependent on how quickly you're going to see results, because if you're carrying more body fat, it's going to take a bit longer. And then obviously, how consistently are you going to be training your arms versus someone who is in the gym consistently, wouldn't be carrying as much body fat. They're probably going to see results a bit sooner, but that's no excuse not to start, okay? Because you can dream about it and say you're going to do X, Y, and Z, but if you're actually not going to be about it and do something about it, then it's all a dream, as Biggie Smalls would say. And you know, I actually listened to a podcast here recently, Andrew Huberman. He's brilliant. He's a neuroscientist, but he was talking about, like, if you have a goal, try not go around telling everybody about it, because when you go around saying, girls, I'm dropping body fat, I'm in a calorie deficit now, I'm looking after myself now, I'm sick of the takeaways, I'm sick of this, wait and you see, new year, new me. When you actually tell people about it, your brain releases serotonin, and your brain doesn't know the difference between you talking about it and you actually achieving the goal. So your brain thinks you've already achieved that goal, and it releases serotonin. So when you're telling people about it and you're in such a good buzz and you're very, very motivated, that's serotonin leaking out of you, because your mind thinks you've already achieved that goal of, like, the beach body, you know, feeling fit, toned, fit and ready or whatever. I say toned, tan, fit and ready, yeah. So your brain doesn't know the difference, okay? So when you're going around, you're, like, highly motivated for the first couple of weeks, your brain thinks you've already achieved that, but you haven't. And then motivation starts to dwindle, and then are you still going to show up to the gym? And after telling everybody that you were going to be toned, tan, fit and ready, you know, are you still going to show up? Because I put up a post the other day on my story, lads, and I said, I have no motivation to go to the gym today. Zero. It's the last place I want to go to. But what do? We still go, because if I only went to the gym when I was motivated, I'd still be 70 kg. I am not motivated to go to the gym 99% of the time. But you know what it is? It's part of my routine. I'm not motivated to brush my teeth every day, but I have to do it because my teeth will go black otherwise. And it's part ingrained into me. I wake up, I brush my teeth, I go to bed, I brush my teeth. It's part of my daily routine. It's a habit. So it's a habit to me now to go to the gym. Every day I might not feel like doing it, same way I might not feel like brushing my teeth, but I do it, because if I don't, I will notice my mental health will start to deteriorate, my physical health will start to deteriorate, and I'll just feel like crap. And I'll just, you know, and it's the same with food. I was only mentioning there earlier about takeaways and stuff. Like, it's like a habit for me not to have a takeaway now. Like, it would feel alien for me to have a takeaway because I've spent so long not doing it, again, by accident. Like, it's not on purpose. Like, I don't punish myself. No, you're not allowed to have a takeaway. It's just, I went so long for not having one that I just don't miss it, you know? But yeah, if you do have a goal, try not go around telling everyone every Tom, Dick and Harry, because then when you... Hopefully you don't, but then when you throw the towel in, you kind of look like a fraud. Not a fraud, but you know, if you're gonna say it, then do it. It was the same with me and my photo shoot prep. If I'm gonna say it out on social media, that kept me accountable. And if telling someone then about your goal is gonna keep you accountable, then by all means do it. But I hate those people. New year, new me. They get all the new gym gear in. I know New Year's is miles away, but you know what I mean. Like, even we'll take Monday now. Monday, diet starts Monday. They get all the new gym gear in. They get the gym membership. And then for 2 weeks, it's all systems go. And then motivation starts to fall off. And bang, they're back to square one. So yes, if you have a goal, either tell someone so you can be accountable, or don't tell anyone. And let the results speak for themselves 8 to 12 weeks down the line. And people are like, oh, have you been in the gym? If you lost weight. But I'm going to leave the podcast there. So just to summarize, go to therapy for your mental health, go to the gym for your physical health. And if you want to build your arms, there you go. There's a summary. Try spend time outside of deficit. Go to the gym consistently. Do those exercises that I listed. Then go into a deficit after about 3 to 4 months. Do a deficit for about 8 to 12 weeks. Drop some body fat. There you go. Bob's your uncle, Mary's your auntie, and you have nice sculpted arms. Train with intensity. Don't be going in picking up the baby weights and you feel like you didn't even do a workout at the end of it. No, you're not supposed to be sweating at the end of every workout unless you're doing cardio. And yes, it's normal not to feel sore after every workout. Soreness is not the result of a good workout. It's just you might have done something a bit differently that day. You might have just lifted a bit heavier and that's why you're sore. But if you're not sore, it doesn't mean you didn't work hard enough, okay? So look, I hope you have a lovely evening or afternoon or morning or wherever you're listening to this, and tune in again next week.